Why are you here this morning? Why are we in the house of God? That's a good question. If you got your Bible, I'd like to turn with me to Psalm 16. I'm going to read Psalm 16, 9 through 11. It'll be our theme for this morning. David writes in Psalm 16, 9, "Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I want you to center on this. In your presence is fullness of joy. One of the reasons that we gather together various times during the week as the body of believers is to come corporately into the presence of the Lord. Now, we can come into His presence privately, and we should. We ought to have that place, that location, that time of day when we come in and we just want to just sit down on Daddy's lap or sit beside Him on the rocker or do whatever it may be to just soak in the presence of God. Now, certainly we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, so in one way the presence of God is with us all the time, but there's that special time when you just go to see someone. You know, we have our loved ones that we carry with us in our heart, whether we're sitting right physically next to them or whether they're 1,000 miles away. But it's special when you get to come and sit down on the couch beside them and have that time together. Well, it's important that we have that time with God, and we've got a doorway that's been opened. If you are born again through the doorway of Jesus Christ, who says He is the way, who says He's the door, He says He's the gate to the sheepfold, through what He did, then we have the privilege of coming into the presence of the Father because we can come through Him. He's the door. And being in the presence of God has advantages that we just can't really grasp as human beings. We don't have the frame of reference to back up and say, you know, what does it really mean to be in God's presence? There are some things you can't explain, you just got to experience. There are some things you just can't put into words what the experience means, but you can appreciate it when it happens. And it's like that to be in the presence of God. You know, it's described various ways in the Bible. There's a whole lot of awestruck wonder when people come into the presence of God. When the presence of God becomes manifest, people want to fall on their face. People want to drop to their knees. People don't want to lift up and confront, although occasionally that happens too. Job had, boy, I wish God was here. I'd line him out. I'd tell him everything he's doing wrong. And what happens when he experiences the presence of God? He melts into a little clump and says, never mind. I get it. You're God and I'm not. Moses went to the burning bush where God was going to give him a message, and the angel told him, put the shoes off your feet. You're standing on holy ground. It's just me and you. There's an intimacy. The prophets, Isaiah, has a vision of God high and lifted up in his temple. He said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And the angel of the Lord takes a coal from the altar and cleanses the prophet's lips and says, now I got something for you. See, there's a picture of what an encounter with God's like. And sometimes we all just need to soak in the presence of God. Sure, we've got things to do. We've got schedules to keep. We've got items. We've got to knock off the agenda. Some of them are frivolous and don't mean a whole lot. Some of them are critically important. Some of them are for us. Some of them are for our family. Some of them are to reach out to other people. We've got all these things to do. But how do we have the strength and the understanding and the ability to perform those things? We need to go soak in the presence of God first. Because I tell you what, I'm not big enough to do everything that I need to do. And you aren't either. I'm not strong enough, and you're not either. I don't have enough understanding, and you don't either. I'm not always certain I know the will of God, but I know where I can find the will of God, and it's in His presence. You see, we come into His presence as a body of believers so that we can worship and celebrate together. And there's a lot of things, there's a lot of reasons that we come into His presence. You know, this whole song set is what actually keyed this thought today. As I was looking at it, there's a theme. And the theme of those songs, if you look at them all together, are come into God's presence and get ready to go out and be His hands and feet. To be ready to go out and to do something. And I think that's our task, our privilege and our task, is we can come into this assembly of the saints and get what we need to go out and do what we need to go out and do. So what happens? Why do we come into God's presence? First and foremost, we come into God's presence to be loved. The Bible says that God is love. It is the overriding characteristic of the heart and soul of God as portrayed through Jesus. Selfless, giving, agape love is the character of God. The Bible says that He doesn't want anyone to be condemned, but He wants all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know that that doesn't always happen. But that doesn't change His will. It doesn't change His desire. It doesn't change His heart that all men would come to Him, that He loves each and every one of us. And we need to experience that love. You can't explain love. All the poets and all the songwriters in the world, they can tell you what they feel about love, but you've got to experience it to understand it. You've got to experience that it comes toward you, and your response to it coming toward you is to go toward it. Receiving love enables us to give love. Receiving, in particular, God's love toward us enables us to have His heart and give His love. See, our love is very weak. It's very human. It's frail. God's love is ultimately powerful. And if we can receive God's love and reflect God's love out of us into the world around us, boy, what a magnifying effect. God sends His love to us, and we reflect that out, it touches a lot of people. It might not be as intense to everyone. It might not have the same effect on everyone, but the potential for God's love to be reflected through us to those people who need it most is one of the great strengths of a body of believers. We're so selfish sometimes. We want to receive it, and we want to hoard it, and sometimes it's hard to give it away. But the beauty about receiving God's love is we can give it away and we can go get another dose. We can go get a recharge. We can plug the battery back into the charger and get another load of amps in it. It'll work. It's ever perpetuated and ever new. And here's the beauty of it. If God pours His love into us and we pour His love out of us, then we've always got God's fresh love coming in. It doesn't have a chance to get stale. It doesn't have a chance to sit like that bottle of milk in the back of the refrigerator, that all of a sudden the bottle's kind of swollen out a little bit. So how'd that happen? Well, it sat in there too long. It went bad. You need to pour it out. See, if we poured it out as it was poured in, it wouldn't have gone bad. You know, can God's love go stale? I don't know. But you know what? It's always better when it's fresh. It's garden season, right? Fresh stuff out of the garden is always better than stuff out of a can. Keep it fresh. Keep it new. So we come into His presence first and foremost to be loved. But you see, that's not all that happens. We come into His presence to be cleansed. The blood of Jesus saved us from sin. But we live in a world that's polluted, and we get touched by it. And sometimes our attitudes or our words or even our actions are pulled in a direction that's not godly, that's not biblically correct. But at the best, we still walk around on a dusty street. If you walk around on a dusty street, what's going to happen? You're going to get dusty. Someone somewhere had something burning last night down in the Dwarf Side, and that smoke was coming up over Phoenix Place. And I opened the door, and when I came back in the house, I smelled like smoke. It gets on you. And there's only one way to get rid of stuff like that, and that's to wash it away. So we come into the presence of God to experience the love and forgiveness of God, to experience the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ. We come in to get cleansed. How does that work? Well, someone shares the word with us, and we realize, I got a little dirt on me. I need to get away from that. I need to put that behind me. And we come to an altar of prayer, and we dump all that. We take a Holy Ghost shower and wash all that junk off. Sometimes we have body life. We have people go to people and pray for people. There can be a cleansing in that. There's a lot of things that can happen, but we need to get the dust of the world off of us so we're fit to serve. We come into the presence of God to be healed physically, emotionally, and especially spiritually. Many of us are wounded. Many of us are sick and sore. We've been bruised by the world. We've been bruised by the church. We've been bruised by people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. We watch the news and we get bruised by everything that's going on around us. And we need to be healed. And the only place that healing comes from is the power of God through the Word of God. And the Word of God is ministered to the people of God by the people of God. We come together to be healed. That may involve praying for somebody. That may involve talking to somebody. That may involve sharing a word of truth with them. It may involve a miraculous touch from the Holy Ghost. But we come into the presence of God to be healed, to be loved, to be cleansed, to be healed, to be strengthened. We're so weak as human beings. And there's a lot of gray hair in this room. That means we've got a lot of miles on us. And sometimes, physically, that wears you down. But it also wears you down emotionally and mentally and even spiritually. We carry burdens that are too large for us to carry, and like an old swayback mule, we wander around like we're broke down and worn out. But it doesn't have to be that way. We come into the presence of God to get strengthened and recharged. We realize all of a sudden, you know what? I'm not bearing this burden all by myself. There's a bunch of my brothers and sisters helping me bear it. Even more than that, the Spirit of God will not put on me more than I can take. The Spirit of God won't put on you more than you can take. Guess what? We put more on ourselves than we can take because we try to carry burdens we're not designed to carry. You know what? I can't fix COVID. I know a God who can. I cannot fix the turmoil that's going on in our nation, but I know a God who can. And I can worry about those things as much as I want to, and I can beat myself down and what have you, but you know what? I wasn't designed to carry that burden. I was designed to carry it just so far that when it lays on me, I need to take it to an altar and lay it there and say, God, I can't fix this, but you can. God, if I got a part in the solution, you tell me what it is and I'll do the part you empower me to do, and I won't try to do your job. There's a whole lot of people that want to be the Holy Ghost and want to be God and want to do what God can do, and we can't do it. What can we do? We can seek God on behalf of situations. We can seek God on behalf of people. We can have a godly concern about an issue. And we can take it to God, and you know what? He might say, leave it right here. And he might say, go and say. Or he might say, go and do. But I can't fix it in my power, and neither can you. To be loved, to be cleansed, to be healed, to be strengthened, to know him more. How do you know someone? How do you become familiar and intimate with someone? You spend time with them. You spend time in their presence. You find out what they like and what they dislike. You find out how they talk, how they conduct themselves. You find out how they react to certain situations. And it's said that people begin to resemble each other when they spend a lot of time together. Think what would happen if all the people of God spent enough time with God and started looking like, acting like, talking like God. But what do? We come together and we complain. We like the guys on the back porch at Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And we talk about our problems. What we ought to be talking about is God's solution to our problems and not rehearsing the problems. Whatever you rehearse in your mind, especially if it also comes out of your mouth and goes back in your ears to reinforce your mind, whatever you say is what you're going to end up believing. Doctors have said people can talk themselves literally to death. Spiritually, I know it's true. You can talk yourself to death spiritually. So if we start saying, if we start centering on God's solution to problems and God's potential to correct problems instead of celebrating the problems, man, we'll have a different attitude. We won't be looking for the next shoe to fall. We'll be looking for the angelic intervention to figure out, that, you know, how's God going to fix this? Because I know He's going to fix it. Not, oh God, here it comes again. It's going to be more of, hey, you know, this, you know, when God steps in and fixes this, it's going to be cool to be part of it. So I'm going to enjoy watching what the solution to this one is instead of, oh boy, I hope I don't get caught in the aftershock. To be loved, to be cleansed, to be healed, to be strengthened, to know Him more. You know what happens when you know Him more? You experience that joy that David talked about in the psalm. In your presence is fullness of joy. The joy is found in being in God's presence. It doesn't have to be an answered prayer. It doesn't have to be all of a sudden I see the solution. It doesn't have to be, oh boy, there's a revelation. You know what, I've got a granddaughter that's about to be 3 years old. And I would be just as happy if I was playing with her or if she was asleep in my lap. Just being in her presence brings me joy. It's not about what she does, although I love the things that she does. It's about being in her presence. That's where the difference is. It's not about what God does. It's about being in God's presence. Just being in His presence should bring us joy. We love Him because He first loved us. He's got all that love pouring out toward us, and sometimes we don't like what that love looks like because sometimes that love is, hey, don't do that. Sometimes that love is, hey, I said not to do that. But it's all love. And it's all for the good. And we ought to rejoice in the fact that He cares enough about us. What? What's He done for us? He caused to be preserved for us a record of what He likes and what He doesn't like and how He deals with people. He created a plan. Knowing that we would be a rebellious race of people, He created a plan to make a way for us to have relationship with Him in spite of our rebellious nature. He sent His Son. Jesus divested Himself of His godly privilege, took on form as a human being, was born into this world, lived for 30-some years, was despised and rejected and beaten and abused and willingly took it up to the point of His death on the cross, because He loved us. Wow. And a good part is He didn't stay dead because He didn't deserve to die. First and only man who didn't deserve to die. So we come to be loved, cleansed, healed, strengthened, to know Him more and to experience the fullness of His joy. But you see, that's not all. We come to be commissioned. We come to be given our marching orders. You see, when we enter the family, we represent the family. And therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of God. We are sent out, you know. An ambassador doesn't do a lot of good sitting behind his desk in his office. He is sent out. He doesn't, you know, you don't name an ambassador to Israel and that person sit in Washington, D.C. That person gets sent to Israel. Now, thank God, in Jerusalem and not in Tel Aviv. And he sits there and he interjects the will and the opinions and the thoughts of the United States to the people over there. And he gathers their input and brings it back. You see, we're ambassadors for Christ. We are, you know, we talk about what are apostles. Apostles are those who are sent out on a mission. We're all apostles. We may not wear funny robes. We may not carry a title. But we're all Jesus' representatives. And we need to carry His presence wherever we go. And we need to bring the concerns back to Him and get His instruction. Okay, well, if they're saying this, then you need to say that. See, we come in to get a mission. We get a commission to do a mission. but he doesn't send us out without the tools we need. We also come to be anointed and empowered to do that mission. We come into the presence of God, into the people of God. Do you remember what happened? The church at Antioch. They were having a prayer meeting one day. And the Holy Spirit said to the body of believers, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the job I've got for them to do. And the church laid hands on them and prayed over them, and they were sent out on a mission. That should be the norm in the church. We ought to be in a position to be used by God. We ought to be have such a relationship and a communication with the Holy Spirit that if he comes in and he says, separate unto me so-and-so for the thing I've called them to do, that we can joyfully lay hands on them and send them out on their mission. And it might be a one-day mission in downtown Hazard, or you might be getting on a boat to someplace out yonder. But you see, that's part of the deal. Those of you that were in the military, when the command structure says, well, I know you've enjoyed being here at Fort Thus and So, but your unit is going too. And this is why you're going. This is the mission you have. You go, right? To be commissioned, to be anointed and empowered, and then to be sent. Too many in the modern church think that everything church happens in these walls. However many times together you come and meet a week, you know, this is church. That song that we sang this morning said, hey, let it start here and then take it with you. Take it out there. You see, the mission is out there. You don't fight, most of the time anyway, you don't fight the mission in your own fort. You don't fight in your home base. You leave out it, you get prepared in your home base, and then you get sent to where the trouble is. And you perform the mission out there. And then when you're done, you come back and you start this whole cycle again and get recharged so you get sent again. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? That's the way it works here. It's the way it works biblically. Because after you do this whole process, then you come back and you experience love and cleansing and healing and strengthening and knowledge and joy so that you're geared up and ready to go to be commissioned and sent again. I think a lot of the modern church has gotten lazy. A lot of the modern church has gotten selfish. We all want to come in and say, bless me. Boy, wasn't that a wonderful music service. Oh, what a powerful message by the pastor. By the way, I ain't no rock star, regardless of what that song said. Now, you do not have a rock star preacher. You might have a plow mule. The end of Matthew's gospel says this, Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What's that amen mean? So be it. Wow. That doesn't sound like sit on your padded chair and enjoy the song service, does it? That doesn't sound like can I give me will you? It sounds like go and serve, go and do. But what we've got to understand is we don't do it in our own strength and we don't do it alone. Yeah, I might be called to go solo to some place, but if I am part of a body of believers that's living in what we just talked about, I'm not alone. First of all, I got the Holy Spirit in me and with me. Second of all, I've got the unity of the body supporting me. They may not be physically with me, but they'll be praying for me to go do what I need to do. How often do we pray for those things that we need to do? How often do we pray and say, God, what would you have me do today? Who would you have me talk to today? Where's my mission today? Most of our prayers are, can I, will you give me? And that's the best of us. Oh, and by the way, that's when we pray, if we pray. You see, the church has got to be a 24/7, 365 participant in this cycle. And I can tell you, this cycle is real. And this cycle will happen for a body in total, But all the time that cycle's happening for this body in total, that cycle's happening individually in each and every one of you believers. And if we don't, if we fall short, if we don't go and spend that time and be loved and cleansed and healed and strengthened and to gain knowledge of Him and to experience His joy, then we're not ready when the commission and sending comes. We're not ready to be empowered and sent out. All parts of it are important. Well, you got part of the church over here saying, I'm all into this loving, cleansing, healing stuff. And I just want to sit here and soak in all that because I need it. And that might be where you are today. But you can't stay there. It'll get stale. The milk bottle will swell up. By the way, don't open it after it swells up. Because it's gone bad. If we sit and soak too much in the can I will you give me, if all we want to do is the feeding part of this cycle, it's going to go bad. Because it's not meant to be collected, it's meant to be shared, it's meant to be used. We are meant to receive blessing so that we can in turn take that blessing and go bless others with it. We learn so we can share. We grow so we can share. We receive anointing and power and instruction so we can share. It goes bad if you hoard it. You got to give it away. It's garden season. If you try to keep all the zucchini, some of them are going to rot. Saw something on the internet this week that said, you know, it's time to lock your doors because your friends and family and even people you don't know will break into your house and leave zucchini. It could happen. We can't just receive. We've got to give out too. But by the same token, we can't go and do unless we sit and receive too. We got to be empowered. We got to be healed. We got to be, you know, you can't keep the troops in battle forever without getting them some R&R, without letting them go and get healthy and strong. Get cleaned up a little bit. Get some new ammunition. Get some fresh orders. That works for the church too. You see, in churches today, you have people that just want to do all the receiving and never give it away. And you got people who want to give and give and give and never take time to receive. Neither one of them works for long. It might work for a little while, but it's that whole cycle. I need to get filled so I can pour out. I need to get filled so I can pour out. I need to get healed. I need to get strong. I need to experience some joy. I need to experience the unity of the brethren. And once I do that, then I can go out. I got something in me to give. Too many give everything they've got away and they ain't got nothing left to give. That's bad of grammar, but that's the way it is. Give and give and give and give and never receive. You know why pastors burn out? A lot of pastors burn out because they stand behind a pulpit and they give and they give and they give and they never take time to get fed themselves. You know, the best chef in the world can starve to death if he doesn't eat. Every one of you, if you're giving and not taking time to get restocked, eventually it's going to catch up with you. And if all you're doing is taking and never giving, eventually that'll catch up to you. And all the while we're not doing that full cycle, while we're not doing that whole picture, the mission's falling flat on its face. Because we got some people out there trying to do it that don't have any ammunition in their clip. And we got other people who are sitting back at base saying, that's a good mission. Y'all go and do it. Me? I'm going to sit here and clean my weapon. It doesn't work. Got to be the whole thing. Stand with me, man. We live in a world that's bad out of balance. And our world is bad out of balance because the people are bad out of balance. And people are bad out of balance in large part because the church is bad out of balance. What I'm going to ask you to do today is check your equilibrium. Not stand on one foot or anything, but check your spiritual equilibrium. Is that cycle happening? Is that cycle happening for you personally? Are you embracing and taking in all of the advantages of being in the presence of God and then taking what you receive and giving it out? Or are you just doing halfway, half that cycle? Are you starving to death or have you got rotten milk in your refrigerator, spiritually speaking? As we go into a time of ministry this afternoon, what I'm going to say is this. If you need to get back in balance, the place to do it's right here at these altars. open yourself up. Give a good, hard look in the mirror and see where you are. If you're out of balance, fix it.